Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Still functioning in the bunker with bombs bursting overhead. The rockets are incoming. Every day a new surprise from the new Germany called England. Today is no different. First, I was banned from traveling to that once great nation, the land of the Magna Carta. And then the Cambridge Debating Society invited me to speak via video link. And today I was shocked to learn that they canceled it owing to legal concerns, legal issues with Dr. Savage. They have canceled the entire debate in Cambridge, England. Ladies and gentlemen, we are living in very dangerous times. The strings are being pulled from Washington as sure as I am standing here. But I have to ask you a question. The question I ask you is this. What is it that I say that is so threatening to a socialist government? What is it that I stand for that would have a once free people permit a group of pill-popping laborites ban free speech in their own nation? Who is it who controls England? And we have to ask ourselves, who is it who controls America? Very shortly, I'll read you the letter that came to us early this morning from the Cambridge Debating Society, the Cambridge Union Society. Remember, this was a place where Winston Churchill debated, Ronald Reagan was invited to debate, Theodore Roosevelt, Henry Kissinger. So this was to be the greatest honor of my life and also an opportunity to set the record straight, in essence, to defend myself. In essence, to defend myself. Be put on a list with murderers and terrorists is amazing, since I have never provoked violence, never been arrested, never had a charge brought against me in a court of law. I thought this would be an opportunity to speak amongst the free-minded people of Britain, but apparently the government of Britain has slammed down on the students of Cambridge and said, if you want your funding, you will not have Michael Savage speak. Now, what is it that I threaten so much? It's unbelievable to me. Who am I threatening? To whom am I a threat? What in my message threatens the West? Now, you would expect this kind of behavior in North Korea. You'd expect it in Cuba, Venezuela. You'd expect it in Syria, Iran. You'd expect it in other despotic nations. Would you have expected Cambridge to have canceled the debate owing to so-called numerous legal issues with Dr. Savage? Now, of course, they also say there were technical, financial, legal problems, which is rubbish because they have had others debate via video link before. There are no financial problems because the hookup costs next to nothing. It's all legal. Shortly, I'll read you the letter that we got this morning from the president of the Cambridge Union Society, and you'll come to judge for yourself whether England is still a free society or if it's controlled by Muslim terrorists in their midst. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, if you expect me to start mincing my words right now, you better tune into Fox News because I am not the leprechaun. And frankly, I got to tell you, I have never seen anything like this in my life. We are losing our freedoms moment by moment. Many of you think this is a stunt. Many of you think it's a joke. What you don't know is that the fight for free speech and how I, Michael Savage, am standing firm against an entire government to free my name from a list of murderers and terrorists is your fight as well. If you don't understand that the current political crisis is worldwide, if you don't understand that the cover-ups that are running rampant in international politics are affecting everything that you do. If you do not understand that the censorship is being used by the Marxist regimes in power and the nascent Marxist regime in the United States of America, if you don't see the dangerous trend of globalism that continues to sideline the vox populi in favor of dictatorship, you see nothing. And that's why I say to you, I was shocked this morning when I learned that not only have I physically been banned from attending the debate in person, meaning going to Britain, do you realize that I, as an American citizen, have had my right of free travel infringed upon, and Hillary Clinton has an obligation to defend my right of free travel, and she's done nothing? Do you realize what is at stake for you? Do you? Well, using historical perspective, Dr. Savage will remind you both of our recent and distant pasts, and I'll draw comparisons with Nazi Germany and the Soviet Union, Castro's Cuba, and how these failed and murderous aspirations began exactly how we in America are beginning today under Obama. Now, I can't say that it was Obama's minions who had me banned in Britain in May of this year. I can't say that at all. But I can't say it was not Obama. I can't say it was the Bush administration punishing me for organizing millions of you to send emails to stop the Dubai ports deal or to stop the granting of amnesty to illegal aliens, two victories of the savage nation. I cannot say that with any certainty, but I cannot say with any certainty that it was not payback for having stood in the way of the globalists, both in the Democrat and Republican Party. Cannot say that. I can say with certainty that Nancy Pelosi, Speaker of the U.S. House, has been quoted on this issue, and here's what she said. Conservative radio is a huge threat and political advantage for Republicans, and we have had to find a way to limit it. First, they came for Michael Savage, and you did not defend me. And when they come for the leprechaun, when they come for the wall banger, when they come for the golfer, there will be no one left to defend them because they did not speak up for Michael Savage. History, my friends, is repeating itself. You don't understand it because you're not under fire. You think it's a joke. If you think this is a joke, then you're a fool. You are a fool if you think this is a joke. This is no joke. This is as serious as it gets. And if you think that this is the last, you are mistaken. This is only the beginning of the end, not the end of the beginning. What am I talking about? I'm talking about the fact that on May 5th, 2009, I woke up to find out I had been banned from traveling to a land I had loved all my life, Britain. Banned by a labor socialist government run by a pill-popping lunatic. But I was shocked when that happened because I've never been in a court of law other than for a traffic ticket. I said, how could they link me up with murderers, including a Hamas murderer who was in jail for 10 years in Israel for having shot two parents to death after breaking into their homes with his Palestinian terrorists and then finding their four-year-old baby, a Jewish baby, hidden in an attic, a crawl space. He ripped the baby out of the attic, and he smashed her head in with a rifle butt. He's on the same list as a talk show host in the United States of America. And by the way, not one Jewish group has come out in my favor. So if you think this is about religion, you are wrong. If you think that I am speaking for nations or speaking for a particular religion, you are wrong. I am speaking for the First Amendment to the United States Constitution, something that is anathema to Charles Schumer, something that is anathema to the Obama administration. These very people who claim to be constitutional scholars are trying to destroy the U.S. Constitution as we speak. So I am the scapegoat of the day. Somehow the Gordon Brown administration was terrified. They grabbed their petticoats and screamed, please keep him out of the country. Don't even let that man in by videotape. Why, Mr. Brown? What is it that you fear so much? What exactly is it? Did you fear that I'd be seen for who I am and you'd be seen for the pill-popping lunatic that you are? After all, you're only a politician, Brown. And let me tell you something. You will soon be out of office. You are already a laughing stock in your own nation. So what is it that you feared, Mr. Brown? Isn't free and open debate the essence of democracy? Isn't free and open debate the essence of all of our national pride? Isn't free and open debate and freedom of the press exactly what America is about? And yet we have a land like England saying, no, you can't come into the country. And even though the Cambridge Union invited you to debate, nope, we're canceling the entire debate. You know, it reminds me of something that happened to me in the fifth grade. It's very interesting. I remember her name to this day. I hope her family is not listening. I won't. Mrs. Dreesen. Mrs. Drazen. They ran an election in the fifth grade in the Bronx, and I won. I was president of the class. She hated me because I was too alive, too alert, too funny. The class loved me. She canceled the election. She said, no, Michael won. The election is over. You have to vote again, and he can't run. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Extra, hear all about it. Cambridge cancels Savage debate abruptly. I'm going to read you the letter from Cambridge. My loyal listeners deserve the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. It came to my producer this morning, Wednesday, October 7th, 2009, 1047.26, plus 100 Greenwich Mean Time, and we do mean. It's very mean in Greenwich. And it came from the bursar at Cambridge University. It's quick. It says, Dear Beowulf, it is with great regret to inform you of the difficult decision we have taken to cancel the event, meaning the debate on political correctness. They go on. We simply cannot afford to conduct the debate according to your requirements, as we have neither the budget nor the required pieces of kit. We have no idea what kit means. We have also, due to these delays, lost the quote we had previously been given and have been informed it is impossible for us to get another team for this event at this notice. We have no idea what they're talking about, because I could do it tomorrow off a video link for nothing. Anyway, here's the bottom line. Additionally, we have reconsulted with our counsel and have been informed that there are numerous legal issues with Dr. Savage speaking here. And so, because of all of the technical, financial, and legal problems involved, we have come to the reluctant conclusion that the event cannot proceed. All the best for the future, Julian Demerck and Jonathan Lawrence, King's College, the Cambridge Union Society, 9A Bridge Street, Cambridge, CB2-1UB, United Kingdom. Now, it's interesting. The line says we have reconsulted with our counsel. That means they've been consulting with counsel. So when I first was confronted with this morning, I called my good friends, including my good friend at WorldNet Daily, Joe Farah. And I said, Joe, I'll give you an exclusive. Andrew Breitbart ran with the story immediately. Drudge posted it immediately. There are outlets that are honest out there and honorable. Believe me, they are the rare and the few. Savage questions on the Cambridge cancellation I wrote a few seconds later, and here they are. There's four of them. What are your questions? What did the socialist Brown regime fear I might say during the debate? Two, what are they hiding from the general public that would have been exposed? Three, why do they wish to hide what they did to an innocent American broadcaster? Four, why is this the biggest story of censorship in the Western world being buried by Fox News? Let me repeat that. Why is this the biggest story of censorship in the Western world being buried by Fox News? And I direct this to my good friends at Fox News. You must break free of the headlock that corned beef has put you in. You got to understand there's more at stake than corned beef's ego. Five, did they fear my reading the secret emails, which would disclose how the entire British leadership colluded to destroy a man's name and reputation? I rest my case. I don't know what else to say to you. What do you think about this? How do you feel about the British government pressuring the Cambridge Debating Society to cancel this debate on political correctness virtually, you know, a few days from it, owing to legal concerns? What legal concerns were there? What do you mean legal concerns? What legal concerns? What are you talking about? I have, by the way, on my website, the whole story, Cambridge Cancel Savage Debate, michaelsavage.com. And on the right side, you'll see the book Banned in Britain. You know, I have a question for you. I'm banned from Britain. A video link to hear me speak is banned from Britain. Do you think the British government will next ban my book from crossing international borders because it is so dangerous? Beating the liberal blacklist, is that what they're going to do next? Are we going to witness Fahrenheit 451 where books are burned at Southampton Dock as they arrive? All done politely, of course, because as you do know, the jackbooted thugs are no more in Britain. There are no jackbooted thugs wearing armbands. They would do it politely and say, sorry, sir, but that book is a bit much for us. We're not allowed to let you have it. It's a bit much for the people. And go on your way now. We want our girls to be lying naked after a good night out in the street with their skirts up, you see. And we like our hooligans good and drunk so that we can manipulate them. This is what England has become. A nation where the birth rate has plummeted, where the girls are seen drunk with their legs splayed open in the morning on Sunday morning outside a bar, and the boys are seen puking on car fenders? This is the England that gave the world a Magna Carta? Las Vegas, Tom, you're the first up. You won't be the last. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Dr. Savage. My belief is that it's indisputable what you speak about, and I just feel that they don't want the truth spoken. I believe it's the same thing with the Obama administration. The majority of the news outlets out there are basically just an overlay of what propaganda we hear every day. And people see it. They see the news. They hear the administration. And they say, well, you know, 2 + 2, okay, I guess it's okay. When it comes to you, I'm hearing the truth. And, you know, with the majority of people, I believe, that listen to your radio station, they take the time to research it. And I do it. And I'll tell you, in all honesty, the way you speak of it, I believe it's far worse. I think that you hold it steady and even, and you're not striking fear into people's hearts. But believe me, I look into it, and I look into it deeply, and it runs as deep, if not deeper, than you speak about.
Now, what do you mean by it runs deeper? I'm not following you. What does?
I just believe that the control that the administration is out.
Absolutely. I believe that every email and every telephone conversation in America is being monitored right now. I believe that although we were told that was going on by the NAC under Bush, and it wasn't, it was only those who were on watch lists. I believe right now everybody's phone calls and e-messages, particularly those on the right side of the spectrum, are being monitored by this government. I absolutely believe we have an illegitimate totalitarian regime in this country in place right now, listening and watching. I believe everything I am saying.
I believe it as well, and I'll tell you that I'm a firearms owner, and I believe...
Well, I don't want to go. I can't go there. I can't go into the firearms part of it. I'm going to leave that to the other people. I appreciate the call. This is a radio talk show. It's not a revolutionary shortwave radio set. I'm heard on almost 400 stations, 10 million listeners, and I'm going to tell you right now, all of you are in danger of losing your freedom of speech. If they take me down, they're going to take you down. How you don't understand that, I'll never understand. You know, when this first happened, the ACLU came out on my side. I've never heard from them since. Where is the ACLU now that we need them? The answer is they're busy seeing if they can undermine your right to live.
Savage.
We are talking about something that's important to me. I hope that it's of interest to you. It's amazing to me. I was in L.A. over the weekend, and some of the people I know in the conservative movement actually thought that the ban had been lifted. They read it once, and it was wrong, and they don't even understand it. And the reason is that the media will not cover the fact that this American broadcaster, this native son, Michael Savage, is still banned from traveling to Britain. And moreover, if you think this is not serious and a conspiracy from the highest level, how would you explain that the Cambridge Union would abruptly cancel an entire debate about political correctness? How is it possible? Do you think this is a joke? Do you think it's a stunt? How in the world could you not understand what is at stake? What, because I'm not quaking in my boots? I'm very fatalistic about things. I did not ask for this to happen. It happened. I'm riding the donkey. Do you understand what I said to you? I said to you 100 times on this show if I said it once. You give me a limo, I know how to ride in the back of a limo. You put me on a mule, I can ride the back of a mule. Whatever happens, happens. What am I supposed to do? All I can do is do the best I can until I can't do it anymore, so I'm doing it. So I try to fight back. I wrote banned in Britain. Not one New York publisher would touch it, including those who claim to have conservative imprints. How is that possible? Here I am, a best-selling author, 4 New York Times bestsellers, major league profile in the New Yorker. How could they not want the book? You'd think they'd be clamoring for the book. You'd think New York publishers would be sending people out to beg me to publish this book. They wouldn't touch it. Not covered anywhere. Only on my website, Banned in Britain. And I do have a few hundred copies of the first printing left. I'm going to have to change it at the last minute now. It included the, you know, it's funny. As I was going to the printer, it says on the back, includes Savage's speech before the Cambridge Union. As God is my witness, I contacted the printer and book designer hours ago, and I said, you have to change that. It can't say include Savage's speech before the Cambridge Union. We had to change it to includes his banned speech for the Cambridge Union. It's like it would have been a misprint otherwise. The secret emails that disclose how the British government set out to destroy, colluded to destroy a man's name or reputation. What can I say to you? I can only do what I can do. My dog still loves me. 1-800-449-8255. Why do you suppose the Gordon Brown administration pressured the Cambridge Union to cancel this? And by the way, doesn't this cast a black eye upon the Cambridge Union for the rest of their history? You know, they've been a debating society since 1815. Think about it, 1830. And they boast about the distinguished history they have. Don't they understand that when my book comes out, Banned in Britain, it's going to say that this was canceled for so-called legal reasons? I'm going to publish the letter in there. It's going to be a permanent record, a blight upon them. Don't they understand what they've just done? Don't they understand that they have given themselves a black eye? They've smeared their own reputation? I don't understand how they can't see this. They won't stand up for their own rights. But if you think it's limited to them, you're wrong. I wish to God I could disclose to you someone else who said they would intervene on my behalf to someone very important. And after 2 weeks of basically asking me and getting letters and this and that, they told me they couldn't do it because this highly placed individual was afraid of the Muslims in Britain. And so I ask you, who is running Britain right now? You know, there have been jokes about Londonistan. There have been jokes about the fact that Muhammad is the most popular name in England right now. There have been jokes about the fact that the British people are not marrying and reproducing. There have been jokes about the fact that they're basically living in a prison camp of their own making through political correctness. In other words, the very thing that I was supposed to debate against has literally destroyed freedom in England. So I would think that they're afraid to have me speak because the people are liable to come to understand that their government is corrupt, cowardly, and dangerous for the survival of animals, children, and other living things. I'll take your calls right now. I'd like to know what you think about it. Let me begin in New York City. Marie on WOR, thank you for listening. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Love you, Michael Savage. Everybody out here loves you, Michael Savage. And what the problem is they're afraid of you. You're so good. We've been listening to you since you first went on the air. And we can never catch you in a mistake. You are good. They're afraid of the truth.
I think you just said it all. Maybe they thought they could make a mockery of me with their little snotty British wit. Somebody told me that they think that they must have run what you call a mock debate with me present, and they realized there was almost no way to get the best of me in this wrestling match. Thank you, Marie. I appreciate the call. They may have run a mock debate and lost over and over again. I wonder where they got Michael Savage from. I don't know who it was, but how in the world can you debate? You know, I'm David Dare Goliath. Let's not forget what's going on here. I may have a big mouth on the radio, but who am I? Nobody. I'm one man. One man with a syndicated show, syndicated by an independent. I'm not syndicated by a major. One man against an entire nation. So what happened here? Does it strike you as odd that the Cambridge Union would cancel this? You know, I play with it, but I think I have somewhat minor psychic powers. I actually believe that anyone who's successful has minor psychic powers. I actually believe all humans have psychic powers. In fact, I know that all human beings indigenously have psychic powers, and I believe that all human beings are taught to repel or reject their psychic impulses in order to survive in this technocratic society that we all have to live in. So all of the whisperings that we get, all of the intuitions that we get, frighten the heck out of us, and so we take pills, or we take alcohol, or we do whatever we have to do to forget what our inner mind is telling us. How is an animal in a jungle able to survive? What senses does an animal in a jungle use? Well, senses, we know they're sharper. The dog's nose is 400x ours. Or is it 800? I don't know. The dog can smell things that we can't even imagine are there. The dog can hear things that we can't even hear. Burglar alarms are not as good as a dog. We know that. But we have extra powerful senses that we've all deadened over the years. We know that they are sharper when we're children than they are as we're adults, because we teach ourselves not to see what we see, not to hear what we hear, and not to think what we think. And then comes along a government that encourages you to be drugged by a medical establishment and a pharmaceutical establishment that is only too happy to comply with the drugging of an entire population. And so we have a nation of zombies, not only Stepford wives, but a Stepford government. The Obama administration is a Stepford government, like robots marching us off a cliff into the abyss. They don't even know where they're taking us. God forgive them. They do not know what they do. God forgive them all. They do not know what they are doing. Good men like Charles Schumer, probably a decent man as a child, has turned into a monster. A monster that is doing everything he feared was done in the Soviet Union against his Jewish brethren, he is now trying to do in this country, in my opinion. And I could go down the list. I'm singling him out for a reason I can't divulge right now. But I will divulge in a week or two. It has to do with my Washington debate. Something happened there as well. Apparently, I am now public enemy number one. Apparently, I am now not on the FBI watch list, but I am on the liberal get list. Michael Savage is the poster boy now for the man who should not be allowed to be seen nor heard anywhere. And, of course, News Corporation, as you well know, was visited 2 weeks ago by the great man himself, Axelrod from Brooklyn, who said to Ailes, don't know what he said, but we know it's not good for what ails us. Roger Ailes used to be good for what ails us, but we don't know if what he said to Ailes had anything to do with Schlepp Smith yesterday taking the party line on government-controlled health care. We don't know if that explains why Michael Savage is never seen on the largest largest television outlet for conservatives in America. We don't know whether it's petty jealousy, competition, or an edict, a ban from the government of America itself. We don't know. We do know this. I have a radio show that's large. I have an audience that's significant. I have some friends left in the media, and you know who they are. They're very few. And I will continue to divulge through broadcasts and through my book as much as I can until this is over. When it's over, either I win or I lose. As that Irish linen piece that I've read on the air says, there's not that much to worry about. Why is there not that much to worry about? Because if I win this case against Britain when the conservatives come in and my name is finally cleared and I'm allowed to visit Britain, then I have nothing to worry about. If, on the other hand, when the conservatives come in, they continue to do the same thing. Once they've won, they do the same thing the libs have done. Well, then I have only two things to worry about. Either I will be further banned in Britain by the conservatives or I won't. If I'm not further banned in Britain, then I have nothing to worry about when the conservatives come in. If, on the other hand, if the conservatives come in and they do continue to ban me in Britain, then I have only two things to worry about. That is whether I want to go to Britain or I don't want to go to Britain. You see how this works, don't you? So at the end of the day, you have to have a sense of humor about all things, because in the large scheme of things, this is not cancer. In the large scheme of things, this is not a heart attack. In the large scheme of things, this is not bankruptcy. This is not losing your home. In the large scheme of things, this is not a pogrom in Russia in the 1850s. In the large scheme of things, this is only an electronic pogrom being conducted again by the good folks of Britain. Mark it down, an electronic pogrom being conducted by the good boys from Cambridge as they scream in their pink panties, tee-hee-hee. I'll be back.
Savage.
Just tuned into the Savage Nation, you know, flipping around the dials to see what's going on. You're listening to a show with a lot of listeners, been around 15 years. And I had been invited to debate in Cambridge on October 15th via video link because I'm banned from visiting that nation owing to the liberal socialist friends of Obama who have banned me in Britain for things I didn't say, things they made up, things they took out of context. And I thought I'd get a chance to set the record straight. I was shocked to learn this morning that the debate had been canceled completely, which is amazing to me, because this will be on Cambridge's record forever. And apparently they don't know or care what their history is or what they inherited or the mantle that they're carrying, because they've just besmirched the inheritance of the entire Cambridge Union, to be honest with you. And they're going to have to live with it. This is a dark day and a dark chapter in the history of the Cambridge Union. Apparently these boys are not in the league of their ancestors who died in the Battle of Britain. Apparently, these boys don't even know their own history. Apparently, these boys grew up in the rose garden of political correctness to the extent that they don't even know what shame is, because they don't have it. They've just shamed their nation. They've shamed their Cambridge Union. And, of course, I would say they shame themselves, but there are no selves there, obviously. But look, this is a political crisis that is worldwide right now. cover-ups that are running rampant in international politics, whether it be in Washington. TARP money? Where did the TARP money go? Who got it? They won't tell you. Acorn, how many illegal aliens voted in the last election? We don't know. Censorship used by the Marxist regimes in power? What Marxist regimes? Well, Castro's Cuba is obvious. Yes, that's a Marxist regime. Venezuela, Chavez, yes, that's a communist regime. But what about this regime, the Obama regime? Are they conducting any form of censorship? They're trying to. Have they succeeded in any way? Yes, they have. They're scaring station owners into putting liberal talk shows onto conservative outlets for fear that the government will crack down on them. Yes, they have. Yes, they're trying to get Michael Savage off as many stations as they can. That's what they're doing. They don't need a fairness doctrine. All they need to do is threaten stations, and they're doing it. And now we have this. And so, as I say, I mean, one day you could wake up and my show could be gone from every station in the country, God forbid. And do you think you'd hear one word about it from the lipstick-smeared women on Fox News? I don't think so. So let's enjoy freedom while we have it. I got to give you some personal impressions for the minute because I'm a personal kind of guy and I'm into impressions. I walk around, I see the sunny sky, I see the blue clouds, I see people licking ice cream cones or whatever they're doing in the city of San Francisco, which I do love so much. I just can't stand the drugged-up politicians who are running it off a cliff. And I say to myself, how long is it going to be before black cars start pulling people off the streets, pulling up to people walking on Fisherman's Wharf, and burly men jump out and grab people and pull them into a car and they disappear like in Argentina? Remember? Remember what went on? The death squads of Argentina? Do you think it can't happen here? Is it happening here? I doubt it. Could it happen here? I don't doubt it. Why? Who's to stop them? Tell me who is to stop them. Tell me. Who is watching the watchers right now? You're telling me the Republican Party cares about you? You're telling me the Republican Party is keeping a close eye on the Democrat, a Marxist regime that we have in power right now? I don't believe it. I don't know who's watching the watchers. The Romans asked that question. I'm asking that question. I think a lot of intelligent people are asking that question. Are you asking that question? Then why was I banned not only in Britain to begin with, but where is the ACLU now? Those of you liberals who are listening to the show, why do you give money to an organization that will not come to defense of a member of the American media, banned not only from Britain, but banning from appearing in Britain via a video link? How is that possible? You would say that's impossible. It can't happen. It can't happen here. It just happened here. It just happened here. Listen to Winston Churchill. He warned you this would happen.
No socialist government conducting the entire life and industry of the country could afford to allow free, sharp, or violently worded expressions of public discontent. They would have to fall back on some form of Gestapo.
Did you hear that? 1945, when he was running for office right after World War II, when he was trying to warn the British people not to vote in socialists, which they did anyway, that they would have to fall back upon some form of Gestapo to stop free speech. And I want to remind you of something else. Our First Amendment, which, of course, is the essence of everything. Without the First Amendment, you may as well have none of the others. Of course, people have said without the Second Amendment, there'd be no need for any of the others. And they're absolutely right. But sticking to the First Amendment, freedom of speech, and government shall not impinge upon this, do you realize that it was not written to protect polite speech? I have to reemphasize this over and over again because I've said it too many times, and I think many of you missed it. Our First Amendment was not written to protect polite speech. We don't need a government to protect us against polite speech, do we? It was written to protect those of us who speak boldly, angrily, truthfully, truth to power. That's what our founding fathers wrote the First Amendment for. It was to protect the right to speak freely. Where are the Democrats now that we need them? They're tightening the screws around your neck as I speak. They're trying to ram a socialized medicine bill down your throat, stealing the good doctors from you, stealing the good hospitals from you, crushing the industry so they can control you from cradle to grave and rob you blind. New York City, WOR, Jimmy, go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yes, if people understood exactly the total movement of the Cold War, they would understand the situation we're in now. When I hear conservatives say we won the Cold War, I don't think they know what the Cold War was. the Cold War.
But wait, Jimmy, rather than a whole lecture on communism, I want you to focus on me and the Cambridge Union. How does this fit in?
Well, they don't want your voice heard, but also by going after you, there's that old saying, kill one, frighten a thousand. They're after you, but by using you, they're trying to send a warning to others that we could do to you what we did to him. Because if they really thought you were wrong, they would love to debate you and prove you wrong. They can't do that because you're not wrong.
Right, I'm a scapegoat. So how can I be a scapegoat in the public eye and no one in the public is helping me? How is that possible? Where are the newspapers? Where are the television networks? Why are they not helping me?
Well, they're it's a combination. They're incredibly stupid. They're traitors. Some of them view you as a competitor. They'd like you out of the way because you compete with them. There's various reasons. Look, Rupert Murdoch, people think he's the head of the conservative media here. In New York, we have the spokesperson for the Communist Workers' Party is elected now to the city council. The New York Post isn't even covering the story of who Margaret Chin is.
Oh, wow.
People threaten to kill me.
Well, Jimmy, let me ask you something. Do you think that we've seen the darkest of days yet under the Obama administration? Because I don't.
No, well, this is just the beginning. And it's the whole world is falling down because of the worldwide communist movement and the penetration they've done in all the religions, all the media, all the schools. They have a control of terror, weapons of mass destruction to terror groups. It was a massive plan. So what we're just seeing now is like the tip of it.
Beware the Coming Tide, banned in Britain by Michael Savage. It's a very sad story, but it's also a very noble story. Because I'm standing, am I not? And I'm speaking, am I not? I'm still speaking to you, am I not? You still have the freedom to tell everybody you know about this. Wherever you are, supermarkets, grocery stores, PTA, churches, I have only you.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
System can be established without a political police. Many of those who are advocating socialism or voting socialist today will be horrified at this idea. That is because they are short-sighted. That is because they do not see where their theories are leading them. No socialist government conducting the entire life and industry of the country could afford to allow free, sharp, or violently worded expressions of public discontent. They would have to fall back on some form of Gestapo. This would nip in the bud opinion at its forms. It would stop criticism as it reared its head, and it would gather all the power to the Supreme Party and the party leaders rising like stately pinnacles above their vast bureaucracies of civil servants. No longer servants, and no longer civilians.
Many people think that the best way to escape war is to dwell upon its horrors and to imprint them vividly upon the minds of the younger generation. They flaunt the grisly photographs before their eyes. They fill their ears with tales of carnage. They dilate upon the ineptitude of generals and admirals. They denounce the crime and insensate folly of human strife.
All the stories have been told of kings in days of old, but there's no England now.
This morning, I had another talk with the German Chancellor, Herr Hitler.
All the wars that were won or lost somehow don't seem to matter very much anymore.
And here is the paper which bears his name upon it as well as mine.
All the lies we were told, all the lives of the people running round their castles are burned.
The German Führer and Chancellor and the British Prime Minister have had a further meeting today.
I see change, but inside we're the same as we ever were.
That the question of Anglo-German relations is of the first importance for the two countries and for Europe. Never to go to war with one another again.
So he will have to break us in his island.
Living this way, each day's a dream. What am I? What are we supposed to be?
Or lose the war.
Living on a thin line. Tell me now, what are we supposed to be?
The Battle of Britain is about to begin.
Does it matter much? Does it matter much to you? Does it ever really matter? Yes, it really, really matters. Living on a thin line.
We regard the agreement signed last night and the Anglo-German naval agreement as symbolic of the desire of our two peoples.
Now all this teaching ought to be very useful in preventing us from attacking or invading any other country, if anyone wished to do so. But how would it help us if we were attacked or invaded ourselves? That is the question we have to ask.
Living on a thin line.
Upon this battle depends the survival of Christian civilization. Upon it depends our own British life and the long continuity of our institutions and our empire.
God bless America, God save the Queen. This is Michael Savage. Not only have I been banned in Britain, but the Cambridge Union this morning shockingly canceled the entire debate on the issue of political correctness, citing legal concerns. Now, I ask you, what did the socialist Brown regime fear that I might say during the debate? What is this administration hiding from the general public that would have been exposed? Why do they wish to hide what they did to an innocent American broadcaster? Why is this the biggest story of censorship in the Western world being buried by Fox News and the entire entertainment structure in America? And frankly, let me go on to another point. I'm a big watcher of movies. I love fantasy. And it amazes me how often the punks of Hollywood play at being the outsider, the investigative reporter years ago, the man standing up to power, exposing things. And then, of course, they go back to their usual haunts, and they're nothing but conformist kids from Cleveland who are good mimics. How many rock musicians out there play at being the punk, the outsider, the wild one, the free one? In other words, we have an entire society in the arts of poseurs, because I am actually everything that they pretend to be. I, Michael Savage, am actually the person they're pretending to be in the movies. I'm the outsider they're pretending to sing about in the songs, and here I am, all alone on a microphone speaking only to you, banned not only in Britain, but banned on Roger Ailes' Fox News as well, for reasons that I think you can pretty much figure out. But they're not the issue. They're not the issue. Today it's me, tomorrow it's somebody else. It's somebody else tomorrow. Don't you understand that? The longer this silence goes on from the golfer and the others, the higher the possibility is that they will soon be next. Because if they can get away with this with me, they will be next. These people apparently are just shills for the Republican Party, which is why I was chosen. Why I was chosen. You know, many are called and few are chosen, but I have been chosen for this battle. And as I've told you, I didn't ask for it, but here it is. And in many ways, I'm lucky, because in the olden days, I would have been locked in a tower in London and tortured, if not outright thrown into the Thames River after being eviscerated. Today, of course, the pillheads who run the country simply ban me from appearing in the country. And then when they hear that the kids, the youngsters at Cambridge University had the temerity to invite me to a debate on political correctness, and I was going to speak to the university and perhaps others via a video link, they were terrified. And they screeched in their pink panties. My God, we can't have that. So here's a nation that's gone from the pink panther to the pink panties in one generation, and only you know it. I'll be right back.
Savage.
I will go on. I mean, I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm going to show up for work on Thursday, October 15th, which is next week, and I'm going to debate against political correctness right here on the radio show. You'll be the recipients of truth. I will read to you the speech that was just banned in Britain. I'm really wondering if tomorrow I'm going to wake up to another shock to my system, which will be that the book itself, banned in Britain, which thousands of you have already ordered, and it's on the way to the printer. It should be out in a few weeks. I'm wondering if they're going to ban the book in England. Can they ban a book in England? Have the English begun banning literature yet? Remember that movie, Fahrenheit 451? It was the great book written by Ray Bradbury about a future where books were burned. That's the temperature, 451, at which a paper burns, for those of you who didn't know what Fahrenheit 451 stood for. And he was predicting a future totalitarian society where very polite ladies and gentlemen dressed in brown or green, very much along the line of the snots that come out of the universities today, would come up to your house and go through your house to see if there was any banned literature, and they would remove it from your house and they would burn it at a government burn pile. That's what Fahrenheit 451 was. But it wasn't done in the way of the Nazis, you know, with big with truncheons and boots and such. It was done in a polite manner, the way the British do things. They don't want to upset the average beer drinker. So I don't know. Perhaps the book will be banned in Britain as well. Isn't that interesting? So maybe you want to buy some and bring them to your friends in England. Actually, I'd like to send 1,000 free copies to England and have them distributed in England. Not one British publisher will touch the book either. You say, well, big deal. It is a big deal. I'm a New York Times bestselling author. How's that possible? They publish books by hacks who copy everything I do. Why wouldn't they publish the actual source itself? What do I know? What do I care? That's all. I'm on the front lines here of free speech. I didn't ask for it. I'm stuck with it. I don't want it. I wish it could go away already and I could wake up and it's over, but it isn't. It's getting worse, not better. But, you know, my horoscope, I know you don't believe in it, many of you, but I'm addicted to a lot of things. That's one of the things I'm addicted to. Take it for what it is. Okay, I know it's a violation of the Bible, but so is a tattoo. And so is eating a shrimp. So what do you want from me? I like the horoscopes. I mean, it's like childish horoscope. I mean, I know that there's the real McCoy. I've had the real McCoy read me. In fact, there was a woman on my local show when I was a local host many years ago who read me. She had a chart that was a shocker. I mean, she sent it to me in 95, 96. She said, in 03, 04, you're going to have health issues, but they're not going to be fatal, and you can adjust it through diet. I swear to God. And then in 06, they're going to have another thing. It was 100% right. I don't know if she's even living anymore. I mean, they get so into these charts, there's got to be some truth to it, or it wouldn't have survived, and certainly Ronald Reagan wasn't wrong when it came to, neither was Nancy. And you can laugh at it all you want, but the horoscope for the other day about last night or, you know, blah, 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 was this. I swear to God, I said, the news you're about to get will be disappointing, initially disappointing. But if you step back from it and look at it from a larger perspective, it's actually to your advantage. So I'm going to ask you, do you think my being, having the debate canceled is to my advantage? And if so, how? Do you think this will awaken the people of England to the kind of government that they have inherited or permitted to metastasize into? Do you think they'll even find out about it? You want to hear another little twist to all of this? When I first was banned in Britain, BBC, the BBC, Sky News was running after me day and night to get an interview with me. Do you know now they won't even return my producer's calls? So this goes further than you may think. There's something going on levels we can't even comprehend. I believe it's a worldwide totalitarian grip that's falling upon the entire West. And I'm positive, as sure as I stand here, that it's not coming from within these countries. I am positive this is coming from those who hold the notes. I am positive it's coming from despotic regimes in the Middle East and in Asia. I'm positive that they have bought our Congress virtually to an, not virtually the whole Congress, but to an extent that you wouldn't believe. If you were to wake up and hear that China or Saudi Arabia controlled our Congress, whether it's directly or indirectly, what would you do? What could you do? Tell me what you could do. What if you woke up and found out that that was true? What would you do about it? What could you do about it? Nothing. So why do they have to tell you that? What are they afraid you're going to do? What could you do? What would you do? Nothing. Don't you understand that? You know, you're like listening to a guy. It's like during the war. There were broadcasts during World War II that came from beneath bunkers. There were broadcasts that could hardly be heard, but they were coming out of behind enemy lines. That's what you're hearing right now. You're actually hearing an American voice that is calling out to you to help yourself, not to help me. You got to help yourself. I'll let you figure out what you have to do. Who are you going to shake awake? The five Republicans in Congress who are actually Americans? You're going to go to any Democrat who's going to listen to you? The Democrat Socialist slash Communist Party USA? Tell me the difference between the stated purposes of the Communist Party USA, CPU, and the Democrat Socialist Party of America today. There's almost no differential. They're anti... I don't have to go down the litany. I've written books about it. Books and books and books and books and books. The Savage Nation. Liberalism is a mental disorder. The Enemy Within. The Political Zoo. Every one of those books warned you that this day would come. And my friends, this is not the end of it. This is only the beginning. Because if they're allowed to get away with this with me, a beloved American broadcaster heard by 10 million people each week, they're going to go after the next person in the line. They're going to go after the number three show, the number two show, the number one show. They're going to do it in ways that you'll never hear about. Because those boys are party players. Those boys are fraternity members. Those boys will be taken to the woodshed and they'll do exactly what they're told. Those boys are not me. Does it make me tougher? No, it makes me stupider. But I can't help it. I'm a wooden head. I'm wooden headed. I'm idiotic. I say what I believe. I speak the truth. I don't know how to speak any other way. That's all. What do you want me to do? Make up a story for you? Chicago, Andrew, welcome to the Savage Nation.
It's an honor to speak with Dr. Savage. I love the show. It all comes down to me. It's fear and foolishness. These people in England and here in Washington fear what they cannot understand. And genuine conservative thought like you broadcast requires an intelligent mind that's capable of stringing multiple concepts together in a fashion that forms a bigger picture. And these people are clouded.
We just lost you. I got most of what you said. Thank you. I'm going to run through the callers right now. Let's go to Sacramento, California. Maxwell, Sacramento, go ahead. You're up on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, Michael, I think that they canceled this thing or censored it, if you want to call it that, because what was going to happen is we were going to hear the ridiculous arguments for political correctness, and we're going to hear you just bust those arguments to pieces. And I think that this was going to be the last chance for a real debate on free speech and the First Amendment. And I think
I don't know. How can anybody defend political correctness? It's indefensible. I've been laying awake trying to think of what anyone could say in defense of political correctness. I can't imagine. I can't imagine. This is something that occurred in the ex-Soviet Union, political correctness, right? Isn't that where it originated? Political correctness, people don't even know where the phrase came from. It came from the ex-Soviet Union, where people had to speak the party line or else they would lose their jobs or they would lose other things, including their freedom. So, in other words, this now has become the mores of America, one of the mores of America, political correctness?
And the guy had to turn off his radio because of political talk on the radio.
Who did?
A guy that listened to, political talk radio, I won't mention the host, but a postal customer complained, and the guy got a letter from the post office saying you can't listen to that radio show.
In the post office?
Guy worked there, one-man band, worked in a one-man post office. Couldn't listen to talk radio.
Well, but he could listen to speeches about Obama, right? Singing praises to the maximum leader?
Okay.
All right, my friend. These are dark times, but not as dark as they're going to get. Mark my words, these are dark times, but I warn you, if you let them get away with this, terrible things are going to happen to you. I warn you. What can you do about it? Well, I have a petition on my website you can sign. You can buy my book and buy one for your friends. You can buy one and send it to every member of Congress if you're a wealthy businessman. I mean, it's a lot you could do other than sitting there and gnashing your hands. Buy 400 copies and send them to the dunces.
Savage.
thought that it would come to this, truthfully. I always knew that there was a certain amount of risk in being a conservative in a liberal nation. I knew that liberals were fascist in their hearts. I met them all my life, and I knew that they were not nice people in their hearts. I knew they were the nastiest, most evil people I'd ever met on the planet. And I also encountered them in the 1960s, and I knew that they would happily gas 30 million people if they had the power. I understand all of this. But truthfully, I figured they'd never have this amount of power, nor would they get away with any of their machinations on this level. Certainly not banning a speech. How is that possible? You'd say, if that would happen, let's say Michael Moore, let's take Fatso for a minute. Let's say Michael Moore wanted to speak about the wonders of socialism while raking in the guilt. You know, a standard ploy of the left, which is they put down capitalism and they're all rich. You know how it works, don't you? The limousine liberal, I call him the Gulfstream liberal 15 years ago, 14 years ago. The Gulfstream liberal, you know how they operate. Gulfstream is a real nice plane. That's what they all want, a G50, a G550, the newest version. They don't even want to fly in a G200 or a G2. They wouldn't be caught dead in one. So the Gulfstream liberals put down capitalism, and they are big capitalists, of course. And apparently there's a big following for this amongst the, I don't know who follows them, but whatever. But what if one of his speeches, what if he were banned from Britain? Tell me what would happen. All of a sudden, Britain or France or Germany said, Michael Moore cannot enter our nation because he's a threat to the social order, public order. And then a student society says, all right, we're going to have a debate on free speech, and we're going to invite Michael Moore to speak via video link. And it's planned for 3 months. And a week before, abruptly, they cancel the entire conference on free speech. Tell me what the ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, and Fox News networks would be doing right now. It'd be around-the-clock coverage, day and night. We have a late report for you, blah, blah, blah. The once-free Britain, blah, 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 blah. And we cannot believe, blah, 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 blah. Has the Gordon Brown administration come to this, blah, 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 blah. But don't you understand why they're not doing it? Because they are it. Don't you get it yet? Don't you understand if you scratch the surface of a liberal, you find a fascist? When have you not figured that out? When did you not know that? When the Black Panthers were outside a voting booth with clubs? Threatening people, and Eric Holder, the Attorney General of the U.S., the top cop, said we're not going to prosecute. When did it come clear to you that you're living in a fascist dictatorship? When are you going to wake up to the fact? Sure, we don't have any prison camps, comma, yet. Sure, we don't have any buses rolling, comma, yet. Sure, the cattle cars are still filled with cattle. When the hell are you going to wake up to who the hell is running this country? When are you going to wake up to the fact that these are evil people? How many different ways do I have to say it to you? Who still buys that guy's act? The guy goes to Copenhagen, they spit in his eye. Even they've had enough of him. But ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, and Fox can't get enough of him. The gang from Chicago is still real popular on the networks. They spit in his eye in Copenhagen. Why? Because they've had enough of him. Why have they had enough of him and her? Why did they say niet to Obama and Michelle? Why? Because every other word was I. My quest. I. I'm a wonderful person. Look at me like the little girl at the wedding that won't stop dancing. Look how beautiful I am. Look how pretty I am. My story is the story of America. I'm just great. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Because they don't understand how they got where they are. They themselves don't even understand. They think it's their own accomplishments that put them in the White House. They actually think that they're not tools of a more devious group. They think that they got here because of their own genius, because their own story. They don't understand that they're just tools of an international communist agenda. You think that it's not happening here. It is happening here. Step by step, day by day, this is how it begins. But this is not how it ends. This is how it begins. This is not how it ends. I am going to play for you a few clips from the British dramatization of Fahrenheit 451. Listen.
The bigger your market, the less people you can afford to offend, especially if you're trying to sell them things. Don't offend minorities. Stay away from controversy. If you don't want a man worried politically, don't give him two sides of a question. Or better still, don't even give him one. If the government is inefficient, if it's spending billions on arms and cutting human rights, well, better that than the people worry about it. Give them comics and soap operas and quiz shows. Make the quiz shows clever enough, intelligent enough, The people will feel their thinking. They'll have a sense of motion while they're standing still. They'll be happy because they won't be asking any questions themselves. Don't give them any slippery stuff like philosophy or sociology or politics. In that way lies melancholy. Now remember, we're the happiness boys.
Yep. That's a short version of what Fahrenheit 451 was about, where they burn books for. As I said to you, 451 Fahrenheit is the temperature at which paper burns. And, of course, we don't know yet if this book ban in Britain will be blocked at the borders and burned. We don't know. What fun. If you're going to Britain, would you take a few copies for me? Take a few copies and show them at the customs dock to one of the Pink Panthers over there. See what happens. San Diego, Chris, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Michael, I think I have an idea that might help you with this situation with Britain. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Yes, I can hear you. What is it?
I think the people of the Free Republic of Ireland would embrace the opportunity to have you come over there and debate any...
Well, I brought this up several months ago. I didn't exactly get an invitation from the Prime Minister of Ireland to come over there. I would have gone, I would have thought about going anyway. I joked about it on the show 3 months ago, Chris. You probably missed it. I mean, I made an issue of it. Because you're one of the few people who knows that Ireland is not part of the United Kingdom.
Ireland is, but the Free Republic isn't. And the people in Ireland, you know, have fresh memories of what they've gone through. But, you know, off the air, I may be able to help you with this.
Okay, that's interesting. I've fantasized going to Ireland and giving my speech on the border with England. Wouldn't that be fun?
Be a major event.
How about bringing 1,000 listeners of the Savage Nation to spend a lot of money in the Free Republic of Ireland that they will not spend in England? Wouldn't that be even more fun?
Oh, I see a nice picture opportunity at the Blarney Stone while we're at it.
I mean, Ireland needs the income right now. I'll bring 1,000 listeners over. We'll fill the pubs. Now, that would be a trip worth taking, wouldn't it, Chris?
It would be great. We would have a great time.
We could all sing Up the British. Wouldn't that be fun?
Oh, I know where you're going with that.
Chris, stay on the line. I'll get your email. We'll be in touch. Give me a few days because right now I'm a little jammed, as they say. Got to win one for the guzzler. 1-800-449-825. Sacramento, California. Ed, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
I just wanted to say, Michael, I think that your listeners should go to your website and click on the link for the Cambridge Union Society and copy their first tab, which is about the union, and copy it and paste it and send it in the email. It states, "Welcome to the Union." It says about the union, "For almost 200 years, the Cambridge Union Society has stood as a vibrant center of debate and free speech in British intellectual life. The society is fiercely independent and often has been at the center of controversy." I think maybe we should advise them they might want to change that description of the Cambridge Union Society.
Yeah, I've tell you the truth. I am now responsible for changing it from the Cambridge Union to the Soviet Cambridge Union.
I think if every listener sent them an email and copied right from their website and pasted it.
But Ed, how is it that the descendants of Churchill could not understand what they have just done to the reputation of their own debating society? How did they not understand it?
Yeah, I think your horoscope may come true, and this might actually turn out to be a good thing for you.
But how? That's a great question. How? Help me figure that one out. How?
They're going to have to rethink this whole thing because the truth is very persuasive, and more people are tuned into the truth.
All right. I appreciate it. Now, get Ed's email if he wants to help me get into Ireland. I like Ireland. I actually still like England. I like most of the English people. People I've met, I've always liked the English. I never had trouble any time. And it's strange that my plant collections are in Kew Gardens, London. I can't even visit my plant collections. My poor herbarium sheets are sitting there in Kew. Oh, what will they do without me, my little babies? Degeneria vitiensis, I love you. All of my pressed plant specimens from all of those years alone in the islands, thinking I would discover a plant to save humanity from various illnesses, sitting there in Kew Gardens, London. Boo-hoo-hoo. my unrequited plants. Maybe I will ask to have my collection sent back, and I'll send it to Ireland, to some herbarium in Ireland. How in the world did Ireland stand up to the European Union, I'd like to know? How in the world did they have the guts to say drop dead to all of the other people? That's amazing to me. How did this happen? That little old free Republic of Ireland did not become a part of the United Kingdom. Makes you rethink the whole thing, doesn't it? The whole black and tans, the whole oppression of the Irish people, the whole evil attitude of the British Empire in the past and what they've done to colonies. I'm sort of like a living colony now. You know, I'm actually, you know, I hate to say, I understand now what it is to be the oppressed minority. The real one, as opposed to the fake one. Oh, forget the fake ones. Talking about Pharaoh, you know, once a year at a Passover dinner. I'm talking about the real oppressed minority. Forget about matzah. Forget about the fables of Pharaoh. Forget about Haman and spinning dreidels and eating knishes. We're talking about a reality going on right now in front of your eyes, but you don't even know it. And what really boils my oil is that so many of the First Amendment lawyers are Jewish, and not one of them will lift a finger to help me unless I put the gelt in their pelt in advance. You get the picture? You don't like what you're hearing? You can take it and shove it down your pipe because it's true, and I can prove it, and I'll be back.
Savage.
University ivory tower types running America, running it off the rail. Dollar slide gives rise to calls for new reserve. People are screaming, stop printing money at town hall meetings. Obama is under fire over the falling dollar, according to Drudge. The debt is driving people over the rails. Budget deficit hits $1.4 trillion for 2009. Gold is scheduled to run through the roof, maybe 2,000. I've told you about that. You know that Swiss America is my friend, and they've been supporting my show from the beginning. I have every right to tell you about it. I've been seeing this coming. Why is this happening? It's happening for good reason, because we have college types, left-wingers, who have never held a job in their life, most of them. They've been inside the universities. They've been inside the cocoon of protection of granting organizations. They have never met a payroll. They don't understand business. And here they are running the largest economy in the world, and they're destroying it. They're doing everything exactly wrong. Everything exactly wrong. The people know better than they do. There's an old liberal phrase from the 70s. When the leaders won't lead, the people must lead the leaders. Remember that one? You used to see it on bumper stickers before they all became psychosexual deviants. It said, when the leaders won't lead, the people must lead the leaders. What happened to that one? What, you mean he's above it all? This one's so smart. He doesn't need any instruction from the people? The people are that stupid? Only the people from Chicago know how to run America? Are you kidding me? We know more than they do about running this country. We just have to, you know, like run our lives around them. We have to exist around them. But at the same time, we can't just let them do anything they want. We cannot. Now, there used to be a two-party system in America. That was gone a long time ago. It ended quite a while ago. Two-party system ended with George Bush. Why? There was a strong Democrat opposition to Bush. That we know. They're running the country now. But he destroyed the conservative movement. The fiscal Marxist, I called him a fiscal socialist, at least a year before he was out of office, the fiscal socialist George Bush, did not permit anyone on the bench to arise in the Republican leadership. He crushed them mercilessly. The Bush machine crushed any true conservative. He threw Tom DeLay overboard. He threw them right out. He made sure they had no power. Why? Because he wanted to make sure the world was safe for Obama. Because what Clinton started and George Bush almost finished, Obama is sure to finish. But for a little help from the higher up. Only God can save this country. You know, God intervened when Washington almost lost at Trenton. They almost froze to death crossing that river. There was providence at every step of the way. And I tell you, at this point, it's only providence that could save this country, because I've never seen anything like it. You say, well, we're this close. What is this, alarmism? Hysteria or reality? Well, I'll step back from my own situation. Let me ask you, is what I'm telling you about my situation of any interest to you whatsoever, or am I overindulgent? Shall I drop this topic entirely? Drudge has had it up all day. Cambridge cancels Savage debate. I don't know what he's going to publish. Nobody does. He's absolutely the most iconoclastic man in the media, and probably the most important in the media. He's far more important than your local newspaper. Why is his site thriving while others are dying? Why is Breitbart's site booming while newspapers are dying across America? Because they know what they're talking about. They're the last voices of freedom in the print media, and people clamor to see what they have up. And the government doesn't like them either, which is why you see moves inside the Obama administration to get control over the internet, incidentally. If you think they want to get control of talk radio, you're absolutely right. But their real prize is the internet. They want to be the purveyors of broadband in America. They want to provide free broadband for everyone in the country. Sounds good, doesn't it? Like free health care for everyone. But what comes with that free broadband is government control. In other words, the very socialists who will provide the broadband to everyone will determine the content. The same way the government that will control the medical outcomes in this will control the choices you have in medicine. The choices will become narrower. They'll determine the treatment for everything, bureaucrats in Washington. If you think HMOs are bad now, you're right. You're right. Nothing compared to what it's going to be when Bonnie Frank's boys get control of the medical outcomes. You think you have trouble waiting now to get approval from an HMO? Wait until Obamacare comes to a neighborhood near you. See if the government will be responsive to your needs. You say there are no death panels, you're wrong. There are death panels. They don't call them that, though. They say it's all myth. They're liars. I read the report. It's in there. In fact, Rahm Emanuel's brother wrote, Ezekiel Emanuel wrote, that a person 65 years of age has lived 40 years longer than a person 25 years of age. They've enjoyed 40 years more of life, and they're not entitled to as much medical care as a person 25 years old. So that's what? Tell me what that is. Oh, I guess that's freedom of speech. I guess that's the kind of stuff that they want outlawed not only in Britain but in America. I guess that's what Nancy Pelosi means by fascism and Nazism. Somebody who's actually telling you what is in the health care bill. Yeah, I guess they don't want that either. And so, you could be a good liberal. I hope you are a good liberal, because a true liberal would defend me right now. If you are fobbing this off and saying it's nothing but right-wing this or right-wing that, then you've lost. You've lost everything. You've lost everything you once believed in. You've lost everything you once believed in. You have become the enemy themselves. If you don't actually understand how dangerous this is, that a person in the media could be banned from a nation simply for expressing his opinions, no matter how strong they are. I never called for revolution. I never called for death. I never did any of those things. Never. And so, therefore, if you don't support me, and then you say, well, Cambridge invited him to debate, and they cancel the debate, I don't care, then what are you? What do you care about? The wine country? Are you one of those you care about the gourmet lifestyle, like so many of the left? That's all they do is talk about wine and food like it's the only thing on earth. We all love a good drink and a good meal. But at a certain point, you have to stop being a chaza. You know what that is? A word for a pig. Because you're nothing but a two-legged pig if that's all you live for. If all you do is live to go to Provence, a year in Provence, then you're nothing but a two-legged pig in lipstick. Let me tell you. You're nothing but a two-legged pig in lipstick. Your dog eating dog food is more of a being than you are. Your dog has more dignity than you are. If all you talk about is the wine country. And you're a wine snob, and you know how to twirl a wine. I've heard them here in the Bay Area. I watch them on television, on these talk shows, these television shows. They think they're sophisticated. They came from in the middle of nowhere, and they learn how to hold a wine glass and how to only pour 2 ounces in it. Suddenly think they're smarter than their Uncle Joe who drinks a beer back in Toledo. They're more sophisticated because they got an earring on and their hair is pink. They're smarter than their Uncle Joe. They're smarter than their grandfather who died in Iwo Jima. So they think. God bless America. God save the Queen. This is the Savage Nation. Please go to michaelsavage.com and check out Banned in Britain, the whole story on Savage's Cambridge debate terminated. Yeah, that's the story today. It's all about gold, isn't it? Gold, gold, gold. Follow the gold. Follow the golden necklace.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
The shocking news today, and you're not going to believe this, ladies and gentlemen of the Savage Nation, is that we received a letter early this morning from Cambridge, England, from the Cambridge University Society, canceling the debate. You're not going to believe this. I'm going to read you their letter, but reading between the lines where they cite numerous legal issues, it seems to me that the Gordon Brown government has told them not to permit me to defend myself. You're not going to believe this, but this is the biggest story of censorship in the Western world being buried by all of the American media, including Fox News. So much for free press in the United States of America. Let me read you this letter. You're not going to believe it. What am I talking about? I'm talking about the fact that the only member of the American media ever to have been invited to the Cambridge Union to give a speech and to debate political correctness. That's nobody else, not Rush Limbaugh, not O'Reilly, not Wallbanger, not the Hemorrhoid. None of them have ever been invited here. I have been, and they just canceled it. It's amazing to me because I was going to, I just got the final proofs to my book, Banned in Britain. We were just going to approve it. And on the back flap it says, include Savage's speech before the Cambridge Union. Well, really, where's the speech? Now the speech has been banned. So they don't even want me to appear via video link. Are they next going to ban the book itself? Can you imagine that, what happens next? They ban the book from England? What does it contain? What is in the book? What is in my speech? Well, the secret emails which disclose how the British government set out to destroy my name and reputation. So I have to ask you, why did the government pressure Cambridge to cancel the debate? What did the socialist Brown regime fear I might say during the debate? What are they hiding from the general public that would have been exposed? Why do they wish to hide what they did to an innocent American broadcaster? Why is this the biggest story of censorship in the Western world being buried by Fox News? Did they fear my reading the secret emails which disclose how the entire British leadership colluded to destroy a man's name and reputation? That's what I'm asking. And now let me read you their letter. Dear producer of Michael Savage, Beowulf Rockland. And now the first paragraph is double talk about technical difficulties. But the last paragraph is the most telling. As you know, all letters should be read with the last paragraph first when it comes to legal letters. You could discard everything else in a letter. Just read the last paragraph or the last line, and here it is. We have consulted with our counsel and been informed that there are numerous legal issues with Dr. Savage speaking here. And so because of all the technical, financial, and legal problems involved, we have come to the reluctant conclusion that the event, meaning the debate, cannot proceed. All the best for the future, so forth and so on, president of the Cambridge Union Society. Ladies and gentlemen, I rest my case. Apparently, I am the most dangerous man in the world, more dangerous than Osama bin Laden, who I'm sure Gordon Brown would gladly give a forum on the BBC. More dangerous than Kim Jong-il. How is this possible? How is it possible that one man speaking truth to real power is not permitted to present his case even by video link? How is that possible? Is this a democracy? You know, even in a dictatorship, they have a show trial. Even in a dictatorship, they have the semblance of a trial. And they let the person who's accused speak, Beowulf. They won't even let me speak in England. I mean, it's astounding to me what this is becoming. It's becoming something bigger than even I imagined could ever become. What are your thoughts, Beowulf?
Clearly, this has come behind closed doors. The Brown government clearly had a role that has not been stated here, and they put the kibosh on you. Apparently, not only are you banned actually in Britain, but you're banned virtually in Britain. Is the next step going to be that they're not going to allow webcasts of your show to be heard, to be transmitted over the Internet to England? Is it going to be banned to that degree?
Well, I'm already banned by ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, and Fox News, am I not?
Yeah.
I mean, think about it, Beowulf. I am banned by every media outlet in the United States of America. Think about that. They have 10th-rate unknown hack talk show hosts on every Fox show as filler, and they don't have me? What are they afraid of? What did Rupert Murdoch say to the people on Fox News to make sure I'm never on any of the on the Fox News. And why am I bringing up Fox News? Because I've been warning the American people about the government media complex at least since 1997.
And furthermore, what was that conversation that David Axelrod had just the other day with Roger Ailes of Fox News? Was your name brought up in that conversation, I wonder?
I don't know. How would I know? I'm banned in Britain. Maybe I'm banned at Fox News as a result of pressure by the Obama administration. Well, apparently the truth is very dangerous to these little petty martinets. Every American should be terrified of what's going on. This is way beyond Michael Savage and free speech. This is about free speech for everyone. You know, it's interesting. The back of my book cover says include Savage's speech before the Cambridge Union. Do you know that I have to change the cover as we speak because the printer's ready to roll with this book? I had to just change it to includes banned speech for the Cambridge Union. Can you believe this? We quote Nancy Pelosi on the back cover, and I'm quoting her. You're not going to believe this. This is chilling. If you want to know where this all started, I don't know. Nancy Pelosi said this: conservative radio is a huge threat and political advantage for Republicans, and we have had to find a way to limit it, close quote, Nancy Pelosi.
You'll remember a couple of years back, even Republicans like Trent Lott, who was the leader of the Senate at that time, said that the talk radio was running America and we have to find a way to stop them. It's all across the board.
They haven't stopped the others. They only stopped Michael Savage because obviously the Republicans didn't like that I didn't carry their water the way others did in the so-called conservative media. Well, all I've got left is my radio show, thank God, and my book, Banned in Britain, Beating the Liberal Blacklist. This is now becoming an epic fight beyond belief. How is it that I could have 10 million listeners every week on the Michael Savage Show, syndicated in over 300 markets? I'm the author of over 25 books, including 4 New York Times bestsellers. I win the Freedom of Speech Award in 2007. I'm given a major league profile in an iconic liberal publication, The New Yorker magazine. And this happens, and the American media pretends I don't exist, and yet they'll run after a murderer or a pimp or a prostitute to put him on television? This is amazing, the world we're living in, Beowulf. It's getting more sickening by the day.
You know, this is, honestly, even though it's infuriating, it's disgusting, and it's a flagrant violation of your rights, it's still the worst thing they could possibly have done. It's the stupidest thing they could possibly have done. It's gonna boomerang on them and come right back in their face because it's clear what they were trying to do. They were trying to get it done behind closed doors. They were trying to get it done on the fly and sort of marginalize you. But now they've done it for all the world to see. And so it's going to be readily apparent.
Beowulf, I hear your outrage and your passion. Do you think anyone cares, Beowulf?
I think enough will because they can't do this again and again out in the open without people realizing and taking action on it. It takes a long time to get people
going. Well, taking action, only my listeners know about it, nobody else.
Well, it starts with your listeners, and then it goes beyond that eventually. It takes a long time to develop a critical mass of people who are willing to do something about it, but when enough people realize that the danger is not just to you, but to themselves and to the people around them and to the people that they love, then they will take action on it. They will do something about it.
The hypocrisy of O'Reilly, to me, is the biggest story here. Let me tell you that right now. I have to use his name, Beowulf. He is the issue. We don't expect anything else. Do we expect any different behavior from Katie Couric? Of course not. But many people hang on every word that the leprechaun says. Yet the leprechaun continues to banish and ban this story from his show. How is that possible? How do they get away with it, Beowulf?
It's because they put anyone who dares step outside of the nicely constructed tent that they have for acceptable political views they contain. Everyone is ostracized who dares take a step outside of that. And if you're not inside, then you're out in the cold in terms of the media. You're out in the cold in terms of the government. And
well, that's because the media is a projection of the two-party system. Let's not forget it. It's an old baseball game, A's versus B's, Republicans versus Democrats. Anybody who speaks about anything other than these two parties, anyone who says the two-party system is corrupt and a monopoly, is persona non grata. That's the real answer. Beware the government media complex. Read Banned in Britain. The shocking news today, if you haven't heard it, is that the Cambridge Union debate scheduled for Thursday, the 15th of this month, has been abruptly canceled as a result of legal pressure brought upon the Cambridge Union, obviously, in my opinion, by the Gordon Brown socialist government. That is major league news, and that's all I want to talk about today on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Just found out that even the once great Cambridge University is now among the Neville Chamberlains of the modern world. After first inviting me to debate the topic of political correctness, they then just canceled the event out of the blue, citing legal issues. Just like the media, and just like Gordon Brown's government in the UK, they are censoring Michael Savage to appease the extremists within their own borders. Just as Neville Chamberlain appeased the Nazis in the 1930s in a failed attempt to avoid war, listen to Chamberlain as he shrinks from the prospect of conflict.
I am myself a man of peace to the depths of my soul. Armed conflict between nations is a nightmare to me. But if I were convinced that any nation had made up its mind to dominate the world by fear of its force, I should feel that it must be resisted. Under such a domination, life for people who believe in liberty would not be worth living. But war is a fearful thing. We must be very clear before we embark on it that it is really the great issues that are at stake. For the present, I ask you to wait as calmly as you can for the events of the next few days. As long as war has not begun, that it may be prevented, and you know that I am going to work for peace till the last moment.
He even flew to Germany to meet with Hitler and gave him whatever he wanted.
The Prime Minister has sent the German Führer and Chancellor, through His Majesty's Ambassador in Berlin, the following message. In view of increasingly critical situation, I propose to come over at once to see you, with a view to trying to find a peaceful solution. I propose to come across by air, and am ready to start tomorrow.
But even Chamberlain, when he was confronted with the inevitability of conflict, finally declared war on Nazi Germany. The Gordon Browns, the Cambridges, and all the empty suits of the media refused to face the Islamo-fascists within their own borders. That's who's pulling the strings on this one.
I am speaking to you from the cabinet room at 10 Downing Street. This morning, the British ambassador in Berlin handed the German government a final note, stating that unless we heard from them by 11 o'clock, that they were prepared at once to withdraw their troops from Poland, a state of war would exist between us. I have to tell you now that no such undertaking has been received, and that consequently this country is at war with Germany.
A state of war. The sooner we realize that that's what we have today, unfortunately, and that's unfortunate, no one likes war, the more likely it is that we can save freedom of speech and indeed all freedoms of Western civilization. And in the meantime, we keep on singing the same tune.
God bless you, Mr. Chamberlain. We're all mighty proud of you. You look swell, holding your umbrella. All the world loves a wonderful baller, so carry on, Mr. Chamberlain. You know we're all with you. And when we shout, God bless you, Mr. Chamberlain, our hats go up to you. Come, everybody!
God bless you, Mr. Chamberlain. We're all mighty proud of you. You look swell.
Chavez. Not Cesar Chavez, but Hugo Chavez. A man who lauded Hugo Chavez, the dictator from South America, is now the FCC diversity czar. His name is Mark Lloyd. How did we wind up with a man who says that we need to get white male conservatives thrown off the air and replace them with people of color and gays on the radio? How did we wind up living in an upside-down universe? How? How did it happen? Because you let it happen. You let it happen. You let a lot of things happen. I can't blame you, because most of us would rather just go along and get along We have a living to make. We have children to raise, or we just want to be left alone. I understand that. And I want to go back to an adage that is still true today. In fact, under Obama, more true than ever. It goes like this. All it takes for evil to flourish is for good men to do nothing. And so you are the good men and women of America. And in doing nothing, you have permitted evil to flourish. And I will use the word again and again and again until you get it. The FCC diversity chief, in my opinion, is evil. The new czar that he appointed to run all of the contracts in the country, the Sunstein, evil. They're un-American. They're anti-American. They're anti-freedom. They want to put you in chains, if not literal, then figurative chains. Wherever you turn, evil is flourishing because good men are doing nothing. Now, there is a trend in the opposite. The tea parties, the town hall meetings are the real Americans, the good Americans, standing up to the evil America. That's how I see it. Now, you say I'm polarizing the country? Far from it. I'm pointing out a country that was polarized by the radical communist left. And now the real America is starting to show its face. They've seen nothing yet. Wow, I'm having fun. It must be that espresso. Every time I fire myself up with an espresso, I go locked and locked, go off here like this. I love the government's cracking down on sugar and caffeine. The only thing you should take is antidepressants and marijuana, but since most of the mayors and liberal mayors are on marijuana and antidepressants, and therefore they want to illegalize caffeine and sugar. See, caffeine and sugar are free ways to stimulate your mind. That's your cerebrum. Caffeine, I learned in pharmacology 101 way back when I was just the beginning of graduate school, is that caffeine is a wonderful substance. It's a very mild cerebral stimulant. But since it's relatively free and non-toxic, the government has to come up with a way to make caffeine illegal, and of course sugar as well. That way they'll put all of you on antidepressants, which will satisfy a lobbying group called the American Pharmaceutical Association and the AMA, because they need more victims in the medical offices, particularly in the crackpot psychiatrist offices. So they take you off sugar, they take you off caffeine, and they put you on antidepressants, and they tell you you need medical marijuana as well. Then they got you every which way to Sunday. And on top of it all, they have you as a moron, a useful idiot on drugs.
Savage.
It's more clear to me now than it was then that liberalism is a mental disorder. You know, I wrote a book by this title in 2005, and the mental disorder of liberalism has gotten much worse. Just look at my being banned from Britain, and now this morning we learn that the Cambridge debate was canceled owing to legal pressures by the Labour Socialist government of Jordan Brown. That's my opinion. Joining us now is one of the few people brave enough to speak out on my behalf, Ellis Washington, whose new article on WorldNet Daily is entitled "Because Liberalism is a Mental Disorder," which touches on my blacklisting and reasons for it. Ellis Washington, welcome back to the Savage Nation.
Michael, once again, thank you for having me on the Savage Nation. It's always a pleasure to join you on your great show.
Well, what is the emphasis of your new article?
My article, "Because Liberalism is a Mental Disorder," it's kind of like it's poetry. It kind of has a poetical feel to it, because every paragraph or every other paragraph, I end with this phrase, "because liberalism is a mental disorder." And then during the piece, I pose a number of questions or cite a number of historical instances. Like I open up with this. In 1615, the great scientist Galileo put his life on the line against the supreme political power in Italy, and boldly told the Catholic Church that the Earth was not the center of the universe, geocentrism, but that the Earth and all the planets revolved around the sun, heliocentrism. And then let's go on. I talk about Einstein and how he was ignored and how he labored in obscurity for 10 years working on his theories, his scientific theories, and how he was mocked as a C student and a dreamer by his professors, and an oddity by his fellow scientists. But he didn't let that stop him. He kept working and kept working and kept working, and eventually his theory of relativity ushered in the nuclear age and changed reality as we know it. So, Michael, I just go through, and using your 2005 book, "Liberalism is a Mental Disorder," I use some quotes from you, and I kind of mix it up with some historical instances and just kind of have a little fun.
Well, why blacklist me?
You know the famous quote by Voltaire where he said that, "I may disagree with what you say, but I will fight to the death for you to say it." That's been a staple of classical liberalism going back to the Age of Enlightenment in the 1700s. And liberals of today love to go back to those ancient French philosophers and embrace their words. But when it comes to you, Michael, they have a different they have amnesia regarding the words of Voltaire, and they don't lift up your cause. They don't defend you. They don't lift a finger to say, hey, you know, Britain shouldn't blacklist Michael Savage just because he's a conservative and they want to try to get some more non-Muslims on their ban list. I mean, this is disgraceful. This is an outrage. And the silence from the academics in the liberal academy, the politicians, both Republicans and liberal Democrats, as well as radio talk show hosts, conservatives like Rush and Hannity and all those guys, their silence is deafening. And I just can't believe that nobody will lift a finger to join your cause, Michael. It's really outrageous.
And why do you think they're staying silent?
Michael, I've been really wrestling with that question, as well you have and other writers, the few that have taken up your cause. And I think it's basically two things, indifference and cowardice. Those are the two things that I can come up with, Michael, as I bang my head against the wall for months on that very important question. I think people are indifferent. Just like I quoted Elie Wiesel, the great Holocaust survivor and a very eloquent voice on the Jewish Holocaust, and very prolific writer, he said that, you know, the greatest sin is not putting people in the ovens at different cities in Germany and Poland and things like that during World War II. That wasn't a terrible tragedy. The most egregious tragedy was the indifference that the world had toward the Jews, who were suffering genocide by the millions, and they just sat placidly by and were just indifferent. And we see, Michael, with your situation regarding being blacklisted by Great Britain, this indifference is equally the same. People that can at least just say something, just speak up. That's all you ask, is that they speak up in your defense. They're just sitting on the sidelines, mute and indifferent to your plight. And the other word I cited, Michael, for why people are just being silent regarding your plight, is cowardice. This goes to human nature, Michael. You don't hear that phrase talked about too much, but I'm a student of human nature, and I know one of the things about human nature is the herd mentality. If you're walking down the street and you're just like, you know, just looking at the trees and enjoying the weather, and you see a crowd of people running the opposite way, obviously in distress, human nature will kick in and say, well, hey, you know, I got to stop enjoying my day and see what's going on because maybe something dangerous happened. Well, maybe nothing's going on, yet these are just idiots or just people that are emotionally unstable, and they're just running for the sake of it. It's nothing wrong. But human nature says, well, I got to follow the crowd, and if I don't follow the crowd, then something must be wrong with me. Well, Michael, you never follow the crowd. You're an iconoclast. You're a hater of icons. And so that makes you an enemy because you're an independent thinker, because you march to a different drummer. That makes you an enemy of people like the Obama administration and the Prime Minister Gordon Brown's administration, who's, you know, their administrations are staffed full of people as socialists and fascists and people that want to take away our freedom and tell us what we can and cannot do.
And now it seems this mental disorder has infected the great universities of England as well?
Michael, when I heard the news, I was shocked. I just stared at the email about you having the invitation a week before you're supposed to do your debate with the Cambridge Union being canceled. And as I read the email and listened to their reasons, talking about logistical matters, I'm like, well, they worked that out. You were going to do it via uplink. And then they start talking about legal problems. Then I said, oh, the devil's in the details. Somebody got to them. Who could have gotten to the Cambridge Union at the 11th hour and canceled your debate? Nobody would have that kind of power but Prime Minister Gordon Brown's administration. So, I mean, this is just really, I mean, Stalin, we have to stop talking about him because Stalin is here. Stalin is in England right now. Stalin is here in America with the Obama administration, with this blacklisting tactics and the silent acquiescence of the slandering of your name and the stifling of your freedom of speech and freedom of expression is outrageous, Michael. And so I just want to say this, man. I know that you're not going to take this lying down, and I just want to give a suggestion. I'm sure you're going to have a lot of suggestions from your staff, your family, your friends. But one suggestion I just want to say to the Savage Nation is we can't let this stand. Let's go to Oxford. Let's reach out to the University of Nottingham, the University of London, the London School of Economics, every school in England that we can think of. Let's reach out to them and say, you know, show them your initial letter from the Cambridge Union and show them the retraction a week before you were supposed to have your debate and say, listen, this is an important subject. We need to have this debate. Will your school host this debate? And let's see. Maybe we might be pleasantly surprised, Michael, that Oxford University might step up to the plate, or the University of Nottingham, or the University of London, or Yorkshire, or any of a number of great universities that are in England. Let's put England to the test and see, is there one university in England that believes in freedom of speech? And then when we find them, let's go with them and have the debate, Michael.
Ellis, another thought-provoking article from you, and I thank you again for being on the Savage Nation, and I want to thank you personally for speaking out on my behalf.
Michael, we are the Savage Nation. We're right there behind you, my friend, 100%.
I'll be right back. It's the Savage Nation.
Savage.
When it comes to understanding the future of our economy, dollars, and gold, there's just one man I happen to turn to for straight answers, only one, Swiss America Chairman Craig Smith. Craig Smith is an advertiser on this show, but let me tell you something. He's also a dear friend. Craig, welcome to the Savage Nation. Let's dig into this story.
Michael, it's great to be with you again. Thanks for having me back on the program.
Craig, I see gold prices have held above the $1,000 an ounce level. Does this represent the new normal in response to out-of-control government spending?
Yes, Michael, I think that it does mean a new normal, if you will, because out-of-control government spending has caused the dollar to precipitously drop in value, and now we're seeing that squeezed out in higher gold prices. And, of course, gold hit an all-time high, and that was on the news that there are secret meetings being held on behalf of the Saudis, the Russians, the Chinese, talking about, over the next 9 years, actually abandoning the U.S. dollar. Talks in the past about abandoning the dollar really didn't go very far. But now when you have the United Nations Conference on Trade and Development talking about it, the G7, the G20 talking about it, now that Australia raised interest rates, one of the first G20 countries to do so after this recent downtrend in the market, it's clear that gold prices are going substantially higher. So you bet we have a new normal, Michael. And until our governments stop spending money, until they balance these budgets, you can expect lower dollar values and higher gold prices.
The federal government, Treasury, the Federal Reserve, and Wall Street all seem okay with allowing the U.S. dollar to decline further. So why are you, among others, so critical of a de facto weak dollar policy?
Well, Michael, I think the reason why we're so much against this weak dollar policy is because it doesn't work. You know, the Bush administration, three secretaries of the Treasury said, we maintain a strong dollar policy. The dollar dropped 30% during the Bush administration. It's dropping again now under the Obama administration. And while the weaker dollar policy may be very good for Wall Street, Michael, it's horrible for Main Street. I mean, here you have a home that's dropping in value while your cost of living is increasing. We have to realize that we've got to create jobs in this economy. We have to strengthen the U.S. dollar, and we have to get government spending and deficits under control. If we don't, we will continue to see a long-term devaluation of the U.S. dollar. And that affects every one of the listeners of the Savage Nation. It affects everyone in America. Clearly, our government policy and our Federal Reserve policy is being looked at by our foreign trading partners as ludicrous in its nature.
I see Obama is now taking credit for rescuing the U.S. from a modern Great Depression by dishing out trillions in stimulus and bailouts. But you say that government intervention in the 1930s actually prolonged the Depression by creating higher taxes and inflation. Aren't we going down the same road again today?
We are responding the same way to this crisis, financial crisis, that we did to the crisis during the Great Depression. But the dynamics are different. During the Great Depression, we were a country that produced and saved. We produced products and we saved our money. Today, we are a country that is a consumption-based economy. We consume and we spend and we borrow. and therefore to use the same playbook that Mr. Bernanke subscribes to get us out of the Great Depression, to get us through where we are today, does not work. It hasn't worked. It won't work, Michael. And that's why no matter how far around the country or world you look, you'll find very few people, if any, that will not suggest that inflation is coming back in a strong way. Now, whether that inflation's coming back in the next 2 years or next 2 months, that's the big question. But there's no doubt that the Federal Reserve has created way too much liquidity, and they cannot mop that liquidity up. That's why you see so much talk about the United States losing its reserve currency status. Traditionally, reserve currencies are for nations that are net creditors and lenders to the world. We're net borrowers and net debtors, for Pete's sakes. We can't keep on this track, Michael. We need a strong dollar policy in America. It's just that simple.
Craig, for nearly a decade, you and I have told Americans that gold is the only real currency that maintains a store of value over time. Over that time, since I've been telling them this, gold prices have tripled. I'm sure many listeners now kick themselves for not listening, but I have to ask, is it ever too late to start putting yourself on a personal gold standard?
Well, Michael, once again, you've been absolutely right when you told people that, because that's exactly what's happened. Our dollar has continued to lose buying power. Gold has tripled in price since you have told people to start buying gold clear back in 2001. And you're not going to see that change. And I think right now we need, as Americans, to put ourselves back on a gold standard. Look, the government and the Federal Reserve is not going to do that. They love the ability to create money out of thin air. We don't have that luxury as people or as citizens of the country. And quite frankly, neither do local governments. They have to balance their budgets. We have a federal government that doesn't believe in balanced budgets. That being said, people need to get on their own gold standard, but they need to understand the problem, Michael. And that's why I wrote a report entitled The Incredible Shrinking Dollar and How to Fight Back. Michael, you being an educated man, know the power of knowledge, that it's important to be educated on the issues. And then once you have the knowledge, then you have the power to be able to take the steps appropriately to protect your family, your life savings, and so on and so forth. So that's why I would love to see your listeners of the Savage Nation read the report, The Incredible Shrinking Dollar and How to Fight Back. And they can get a copy of that by simply calling our toll-free number, 800-289-2646. Mention you're a Savage listener, 800-289-2646, and they'll send it out absolutely free, or they'll direct you how to get it at our website, SwissAmerica.com.
Call Swiss America today, watch their DVD, read their new Shrinking Dollar Report.
And Michael, thank you for once again talking about a critical issue that affects every single American. We're talking about our retirements, our college accounts for our children, the way we pay our bills. And Michael, our very way of life could potentially be under attack right now. We either have to lower our standard of living or increase the world's standard of living. We do live in a global environment right now economically. And thank goodness for the Savage Nation and Michael Savage, who once again is on the front edge of a very critical issue that affects every single American. Thank you for being there for us, Michael.
Well, you heard it first here on the Savage Nation. Don't wait to buy gold. Buy gold and wait. You won't be sorry. I'm Michael Savage. Like, here's a story that just caught my eye. I'm looking at the stories on the web. Hunt for clues to sea life deaths at Farallon's. You see what I mean? So they're now looking at whale poop. They're trying to study what's going on with the ocean seals and birds that seem to be dying off on the west coast here off California. It says, in a change in diet that several bird species at the Farallon National Wildlife Refuge are unable to make, it is a change in diet, see? That tiny shrimp-like crustacean called krill has come in instead of fish and anchovies, and several birds can't make the change. And as a result, colonies of fish-eating cormorants, seagulls, and murres failed to breed this year on the Farallon Islands. And over the past few months, dozens of dead birds and even dead sea lions have been found on local beaches. That's terrible. Why? Now, why did that happen? If you studied Ecology 101, which I was lucky enough to do 30 years ago, there's a food chain. And the anchovies have disappeared for reasons the scientists don't understand. And that in their absence, birds and mammals such as the humpback that eat krill are thriving, while the animals that are eating only fish are in trouble, and the whale excrement served as evidence. So there's an extraordinary number of dead animals. I love the cormorant, a blackbird with white plumes that can dive as deep as 300 feet for its prey. And the cormorant did not produce any chicks this year on the Farallons or on Alcatraz. That's compared with 15,000 chicks in 07. Why? Because it's an anchovy-loving bird. So it's a serious thing. It's the first complete breeding failure in 40 years, I read, during a year without El Nino conditions so far. So there are cycles in nature. And if they go cyclically in and out, you'll do okay in the long run. But if they don't, if the cycles don't alter, you're going to wind up with a dead species, an extinct species. My favorite bird to watch fishing, of course, is the pelican, and that's found both on the East and West Coast. To watch a pelican fly in formation is still one of the great sights on Earth. That's if you watch them change point, which is still one of the most amazing things to witness on Earth as an observer of nature. Why do you think birds fly in formation and they constantly change? The bird that flies point is constantly changing. Now, there's two theories on that. I gave you mine 2 years ago. I said to you it's so that any bird in the flock can be the leader. They're very communistic in that regard. Actually, the pure communism is what I'm talking about. There's no such thing as pure communism. It's all run by gangsters. There's no such thing as the ordinary man running a communist society. But the birds are very universalist communitarian. Let's put it to you that way. So if any one of the lead birds, let's say a bird dies, gets shot, gets eaten by a predator, gets a heart attack or whatever, any bird can take the lead and the flock will be okay. Another theory, which I've heard from ornithologists, is that the reason they change point is because it's easier to fly behind another bird because of the wind, the velocity of the wind coming off the other bird. It's sort of like flying in their slipstream, okay? And consequently, it's less stress to keep shifting point that way. So what I'm saying to you is if you observe nature, and then you have been doing this all of your life as I have been doing, and then you enter the political world and you start to observe the political animals, as I did in The Political Zoo, a book I wrote a few books ago, you can see why I have no friends in the government media complex. With God's will and your listenership, I shall return.
Savage.